are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be, ladies and gentlemen, on a very cold and very rainy day here
it's
in Los
rainy,
Angeles.
It's rainy, but it's not cold.
Well,
coming from Chicago, it ain't cold, pal.
I know what you're talking about, but you know how L.A. is.
I know
that the news broadcast tonight will, you know,
Storm watch.
Yeah, exactly. Too cold to shop in Sherman Oaks.
Cars damp in the valley. What will we do?
I don't know.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com. And we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their supports to our live arts calendar. And we have another supporter
as well. Yes, we do. And I'm so happy about this. And if you're looking, ladies and gentlemen, for a rockin' sense of cool chic this New Year's Eve, you can find it at the Federal Bar and Restaurant.
Tinkerbell agrees, apparently.
Exactly, yes. She does. Originally a bank in 1926, located in what is now the trendy NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood, the Federal is not only a premier gastropub offering unique California gourmet, but it is also a pulsating state-of-the-art nightclub. And here's the best part. You can get in on the celebration for as little as $20 or go the full Monty with two different super deluxe dinner drink packages. Check it out at thefederalbar.com or call 818-980-2555 for more information.
Yeah, baby. I'm agreeing wholeheartedly. As you know, Michael, I've seen your show at the Federal upstairs.
Yes.
But after we did our screening, we went downstairs to the bar, and then we went to the front area. And you're right. It's like a bunch of different places. You got all these different moods and tones, and it's a beautiful room and a beautiful restaurant. Love that place.
Yeah,
cannot recommend it high enough.
Thank you, Paul, and a great, great menu. Always changing.
Yeah, really dig it. Two guests today, both via the electric telephone. Our first was last seen in Santa Barbara for ETC's The Fantastics. That's Ensemble Theater Company. Her most recent credit is the national tour of Kathy Rigby Is Peter Pan. Other theater credits include Richard Sherman and Milt Larson's Pizzazz? I thought I said paparazzi. Pizzazz, the musical. Loving Repeating and Disney's live pre-show at the El Capitan Theater for the movie Tangled. She received her BA from UCLA's TFT Ray Bolger Musical Theater Program. And today she's going to be chatting with us about her role in A Little Night Music. Carly Bracco will join us on the phone in just a few minutes, about 5 minutes or so.
Absolutely. And should I also let the folks know about our second guest?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Also joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We're so psyched today. It's so cool. On the phone shortly thereafter from that same production, which is currently being presented, by the way, by the Ensemble Theater Company at the brand new Vic Theater in Santa Barbara, is a man who was honored to debut with Ensemble Theater in one of his favorite musicals. He performed the role of Mr. Lindquist in 2010 at the Lyric Opera San Diego, where he also appeared as Billy in Anything Goes and Giuseppe in Gilbert and Sullivan's The Gondoliers. He was most recently seen in San Diego at the how would you say that, Paul? Sargent?
What's that?
Sargent.
I don't know.
Sargent, I'm going to go for a Sargent.
I don't know.
What do you think?
Signet. Maybe Signet?
Sounds like a healthcare organization.
You say Signet, I say Sargent. Let's call the whole thing off.
The Sargent Theater, in their repertory productions of The Importance of Being Earnest and Tom Stoppard's Travesties, originally from Huntsville, Texas, and he holds a BFA in acting from the North Carolina School of the Arts. He will speak with us later in the hour about creating the role of Count Carl Magnus in this acclaimed production of A Little Night Music. Jordan Miller will be joining us.
Yes, both of them will be with us. Let's throw a little applause their way, even though they're not here yet.
Yeah.
I think, Michael, this may be the first time that we've had both guests out of studio.
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, who would want to bring them out on a rainy day like this anyway?
Certainly not us.
So, actually, one of them is calling now, but should we take the call now and then, let's do that. Okay, we'll take the call right now and then we'll talk about the stuff we have to talk about a little later in the hour, but we'll give an answer.
Absolutely.
And we're hoping that this is the young lady on the phone with us right now. This is Paul Strolley with Michael Sterling at State of the Arts. Who are we chatting with?
This is Carly Bracco.
Carly Bracco is here. Yay.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. We were just talking about you, and lo and behold, there you were on the electric telephone.
Yeah.
So,
magic.
Carly, thank you so much. We just, I don't know if you're listening live, if you heard your very complimentary introduction, or do you have the interweb there, the worldwide net?
I actually don't, so I will have to hear it later, but I'm excited to hear it. I like being surprised.
Well, I praised you to the skies, but Michael was very unkind.
Wait a minute.
Evil.
No, you know that's not true, Carly.
So, Carly, tell us about this show you're doing at this spectacular new venue. It's brand new, the new venue.
Oh,
Vic, huh?
My gosh, this theater is beautiful. I mean, it feels something out of the olden times, but brand new. And we're doing a little night music out here, one of Sondheim's finest.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm playing the role of Anne, who's the young little ingenue wife. And, I try to think that I'm not just like her because she's a little bit more materialistic than me. But it's a lot of fun. And, I mean, just, I'm going to gush about the theater. This theater is incredibly beautiful. I mean, it's just, I mean, copper on the ceilings, but they still kept the stained glass because it used to be an old church.
Oh, really?
And they kept elements of this old church. And I actually rehearsed in the old church 3 years ago when I did the Fantastics out here. And so I got to see the before process, and it was terrible before.
Wow.
But they had these little elements of beautiful, and now they tied it all together. And what an incredible space. I really think that some wonderful work is going to be done here in the future. It gives directors, actors, new producers, new shows this amazing opportunity to perform in a brand new, gorgeous theater. And so to do a little night music here is kind of perfect.
Well, yeah, it sounds like the production is perfect for this inaugural production is perfect for that venue.
Oh, it really is. I mean, because you usually think Sondheim, big and grandiose and, you know, huge orchestras and huge this and huge that. And this is a really scaled down version of the show, and it's very intimate, and it's a really, really lovely piece. And, you know, not to toot your own horn or anything, but it's really a marvelous show.
Well, that's what others are saying, too. I mean,
exactly.
Michael, you saw it, right?
I have not seen it.
You haven't
Strangely
seen it?
Enough, I've never seen a production of A Little Light.
Really?
Show. Yeah.
Oh, that's unusual.
Really? Yes, isn't that odd?
It's one of Sondheim's finest. And what's interesting about this particular show is the entire show is written in 3/4 time. It's all written in a waltz. I don't know if this is true or not, but I was told that Sondheim was given a challenge. Somebody said to him, I bet you cannot write an entire show in 3/4 time. Challenge accepted, and here's a little night music. And it is just, it really parallels the show itself because the entire show has to do with three. You know, you have a couple, and there's all these love triangles that happen throughout the show.
Right.
So it just, the music matches, you know, the struggles of the story. It's just beautiful.
Metaphorical.
Yeah. So Carly, forgive me, Paul, for interrupting.
No, please.
You, along with your love interest, Patrick Cassidy, in the show.
Yes.
The great Patrick Cassidy, I might add. And the great Piper Laurie and Stephanie Zimbalist are all christening the stage of the new Vic.
What a cast.
Yes, they are all on stage here, and they are marvelous. I mean, Stephanie Zimbalist as Desiree is just perfect. I mean, her rendition of Send in the Clowns just will bring you to your knees every single night. It's a bummer because I have to come in the scene right after she sings that song, so I just have to hide because otherwise I'll just be in tears watching her do this marvelous number. And I find it funny because everyone calls her a non-singer, and she's absolutely a singer. Well, she's got this really lovely voice, and it just was such a lovely treat to listen to her every night. And of course, Piper Laurie, who's just a legend and very funny and a very sweet woman. You think, you know, Carrie's mom, she's going to be scary.
They're all going to laugh at you.
What was that, Paul?
They're all going to laugh at you.
Ever meet.
That's my impersonation of Piper Laurie. I've been doing it for years since I saw Carrie. I would just, I say it to my wife all the time.
It's
I just
perfect.
Go,
it's
they're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. that sounds, I mean, I only saw pictures of the you mentioned earlier about Stephanie Zimbalist, and it has to be a pretty staggering read on that song, because I don't know if you would agree with me on this, Michael, even though you don't know the show. It is probably the best known song of Stephen Sondheim's. I would say Send in the Clowns is probably the most.
Probably,
yeah, you know.
I would say.
So for her to do a take on it that affects people that deeply with something that is so widely known really says something about how she delivers it.
Well, it really does. I mean, yes, she's a beautiful singer, but she kind of lets that go and just tells this story. I mean, I got a whole new understanding of this song just listening to her do it. Just how heart-wrenching, really, this song is. And just, she just breaks right in front of you, and you can't help but just weep when watching it. It's really marvelous.
Well, add to that her amazing ability as an actress, and I think that that is one of those true songs that can be interpreted by someone as capable as she is. Acting-wise, that really can transcend, you know, you don't need the vocal in that case, you know, the Judy Collins version of it and so many other versions that were recorded that popularized it. If you're not a good actor in this play singing that song, then you're going to be in trouble. So,
then it's just this boring little song.
Exactly.
Mean, that's the thing is
right.
You have to just have a phenomenal actress play the role of Desiree. Otherwise, that just, it sort of just falls flat. Right. And I really would dare to say that you can't really have a singer, like someone who's a singer first, mm-hmm. do that. I mean, you need somebody who's really equally both to do it. And I mean, I would pick an actor over a singer in that role any day, and we just got lucky that we found someone who could do both.
Wow. Well, but, I think that's
And of course.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carly. I didn't mean to cut you
off. Oh, no. I was just going to start singing Patrick Cassidy's praises a little bit, too. I mean, here you have somebody who has worked with Sondheim and has worked with some of the best, and it really brings into the show and it brings a lot of life. And when you put him and Stephanie together, it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Well, and you also have some wonderful people in the production itself, like Misty Cotton, who's one of our great regional theater stars.
Oh, Misty Cotton's fantastic. I mean, she plays Petra, the saucy maid, as somebody quoted her, and she's marvelous. And I have a good castmate here with me today, Jordan Miller, who plays the Count,
who
just has the best voice in the show. I'll be blunt and I'll just say that. He's just so good. And if you haven't heard him sing,
we're looking forward to it.
I mean, he's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal actor as well, but I mean, his voice sort of shocks you.
We're looking forward to talking to him later in the hour. I think we're going to talk to him about 1:30 or so. Is that correct?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good. Yay.
I want to let people know how to see this particular production. Of course, we're talking about A Little Night Music by Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler. This is being performed by the Ensemble Theater Company of Santa Barbara at the brand new space, the New Vic. That's 33 West Victoria Street in Santa Barbara, 91310. For reservations and information, you can call their box office at 805-965-5400. That's 805-965-5400. And you know what I don't see here, Michael, but you probably know, is the website for the Ensemble Theater Company. Is there one?
Yes, there is. There is. I believe it's ensembletheater.com, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll find that out.
Sounds about right to me.
I don't see. Well, I'm sure we'll find it out before the end of the hour. And you know what, Carly? Have Jordan find out and have him tell us at 1:30, would you?
I will, for sure.
And, of course, we'll throw this information out there again before the end of the hour. Carly, was this a show that you were enamored of before you performed it, or did you just sort of passively know about A Little Night Music?
Oh, I love the show, and I actually did it in college. I played the same role
when
I was in college, and so I had worked with this company before. I said that a little bit earlier, that I did the Fantastics with them, and I had seen somewhere on one of their, on their Facebook page that they were going to do a night music this season, and I'm like, huh, and it's right around the holidays. Maybe, just maybe, I can audition via Skype or something and and get to come home for the holidays and get to do the new show in the new theater. And it just, the stars sort of all aligned, and I got to come and do it.
That's great.
And you found that out, of course, when you were touring the country with Peter Pan, did you not?
Yeah, I was touring with Kathy Rigby's Peter Pan, and I got wind of this, and I'm like, oh, I want to play Anne. I mean, the role of Anne, I love it because I come from the instant gratification generation, and I feel like Anne represents that generation very well in her time because she loves baubles and bangles and all those things. And so it's a fun, but you get to see Anne transition from that sort of phase of life into adulthood. And, you know, I wasn't that far away from that myself. Oh, so it's just, it's been really fun.
Carly, how's it working opposite that not so good looking Patrick Cassidy guy?
Oh, he's hideous. I mean, God, just so ugly.
Patrick Cassidy.
He's beautiful and he's wonderful and he's just a joy to work with. And what's great is he's very insightful and, you know, he's just a very open human being and he makes you very comfortable to, you know, be vulnerable with and act with and talk to. And he's a very good acting partner and I'm just very lucky to get to work opposite him.
And he's lucky too. He's lucky as well.
Absolutely.
I would agree.
I think I stumbled on it here, Michael.
Oh, you did?
I believe it's etcsb.org.
Oh.
So
sounds good.
I think that's what
sounds
it is.
Right.
etcsb.org.
There
that
we
sounds
go.
Like, real
in,
fancy.
As in et cetera, Santa Barbara .org. And so that is out there. And of course, we'll give the box office information again before the end of the hour.
I just want to say one thing about Patrick. Yeah. Carly Paul headlined Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal with Adam Wiley from television's Picket Fences,
if you
remember
Adam,
also Broadway, of course, this past Monday.
Oh, really?
They just killed in this amazing Christmas show called Holiday Our Way with a gorgeous cast behind them.
And so, Carly, you didn't take your night off then? You had a night off
and
you worked?
No, I didn't take my – I haven't had a night off in 3 months. But it's been – it was so worth it because, I mean, that show was just so much fun, and I feel like – times right now are a little tough and people are having a rough holiday. And I just was like, you know what? I want to do my best to give one really fun holiday night and just make it all about fun and happy again. And so I think we succeeded in doing that.
Yes,
especially with Richard Sherman by our side. It was very wonderful.
Richard performing a very special rendition of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, wow.
And Carly singing with Mr. Sherman playing, and she sang Feed the Birds.
Feed the Birds.
Walt Disney's favorite song.
Yes. No, I know it well.
So it was a beautiful night, and Adam did a great job, and your whole cast, and you had carolers, you had magicians in the audience working, you had everybody going.
Holy cow.
We even had Santa Claus.
You did. And that Patrick Cassidy man, he was in the audience, Paul.
He was in the audience. Okay.
He drove down and attended the show, and all the women, of course, you know, are lining up to get pictures.
I saw Patrick at the premiere of Evita.
He was
there with his mom and with, I don't know if he was with his brother.
He was with his wife and Marty Ingalls
and
Shirley Jones.
Shirley Jones is a wonderful woman. She came to our opening night here and with her husband Marty, and they just couldn't be nicer people. Oh, they're just very supportive of Patrick and their whole family, but supportive of anyone who works with him. And it's just, you know, you become family when you meet them, and they're just, I can't say nice enough things about them. They're just so wonderful.
Oh, and I've heard that before as well. Yes. Carly, thank you so much. We have a lot to address today, so we have to wrap it up. But do you have a website of your own, Carly, that we could tell our listeners about?
I do. It's very, very simple. www.carlybracco.com.
And spell your
last name. Twitter and Facebook and all those good things. CarlyBracco.
There we go.
There's a good endorsement for you.
Carly, thank you so much for joining us and continued success in your show. We're very grateful to have you on the air. And we're thankful that you're not here in person just because we wouldn't want to subject you to this weather getting out here. So better that you called today.
It's so terrible.
Carly, you know I love you. You know I love you dearly. Thank you for doing this. And give your beau, Jimmy Little, a big hello from us down here in Los Angeles.
Oh, I will. He loves you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, doll.
Thank
you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye now.
Such a nice girl.
She's very, very sweet.
And
very, very
so
sweet.
Pretty.
Oh, no. I saw her picture on the website, too.
Yeah.
And she's as pretty as that new theater, because she was in the new theater of the photo.
Pretty as that new theater.
I tell you. She's one pretty girl.
Alrighty.
We have a lot to talk about, Michael,
because
the entire time that I was, we only have 10 minutes to talk about it, but entire time that I was gone, it seems like you were in a theater that entire time. How many shows did you see?
I saw four.
Okay.
Yes, four.
All right. Can you give us a little breakdown?
I can indeed. I went to the beautiful Amazon Theater downtown, the Center mm-hmm. Theater Group, for the premiere of Broadway's Peter and the Starcatcher, which, you know, Paul, I was a little trepidatious about whether or not I was going to take to this particular type of show, because it was a first for me to see this, and it's English panto.
Right. Oh, I love panto. You said you had never been. I love panto. I did a panto in college called Swan Down Gloves. I love the whole style. And you say pantomime, and people think that it's like silent, but it's very much like music hall, comedy, call and response.
Exactly. Yeah. So it really has nothing, not too much to do with the pantomime. But I want to tell you from the get-go, the first 10 minutes, you're kind of
figuring it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who's the villain? Who do I boo? Who do I cheer?
Exactly. Yeah. And the sets were very minimal, but very cleverly done. And once everybody, I think, in the audience really kind of, got into it after those first few minutes, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Truly phenomenal and hilarious. Yeah. I mean, hilarious.
I've read a couple of reviews, yeah.
You know, and I can smile and enjoy something, but it takes a lot for me to laugh out loud. And I was laughing out loud during the whole show. It was really brilliant. And it's a new play, of course, from Broadway, recently new, Peter and the Starcatcher by Rick Elise. And this one starred Joey DeBettencourt, John Sanders, and Maggie Stern in the principal roles, and an ensemble of actors who played multiple characters. And they just tore the house down.
Wow.
Really tore the house down. Yeah. I recommend this so highly to anybody that hasn't experienced this kind of theater before. It's very specialized. And going downtown, first of all, to the Music Center, you know, it's so beautiful, and Christmas time lit up like it is.
And it's cross appeal. It's like you can bring kids to it. I mean, not little young kids, but there's something for everybody.
Yeah. And it's very, it's done in a kind of a contemporary slash kind of period thing. They mix it up, you know, and it's basically the story of how Peter Pan became the boy who would never grow up and how he got his name.
Really?
And it's so, so cool. And the whole history that leads the prequel to Peter
Pan. Right. It's sort of like Peter Pan's Wicked.
Exactly. Right. But highly, highly recommended
okay, cool.
that. And
good
I know
dear.
You saw a show in Chicago.
I saw a show in Chicago with the Shawnee Theater Company obviously, as you probably tell from the name, it specializes in Gaelic. It's Gaelic for storyteller, actually. Mm-hmm. And I saw a production of The Seafarer. And now I want to stress something, because this is something you and I are always promoting small theater here on State of the Arts. And this is one of those situations where there are certain productions that are more suited for a small theater than they are for a large theater. I remember when I saw Doubt at the Amundsen, I didn't enjoy it at all. I mean, I enjoyed the writing, but it was like watching little nun Legos working down there.
Oh.
It was so far away. It's far too intimate a show for that space. I saw Seafarer on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago. And I saw this production at the Shawnee Theater in Chicago, and I liked this one better. And it was born of the intimacy. It's this just a living room in this house on Christmas Eve with some hard drinking going on, guys fighting. There's a lot going on, but I don't want to go into too much detail about it because people should really see the show. It was that wonderful sort of glorious theatrical uncomfortableness of when you're in a room. Like if you're in a room with someone and two people are having a real argument and you're just sort of in the middle and that sort of how that affects you physically. You can't get that when you're in a 1,000-seat venue, but you can get it in these intimate spaces. And the performances across the board were excellent. I want to call out the actors, Ira Amix, Shane Kenyon, Kevin Tice as Mr. Lockhart, Dan Waller as Sharky. And when the cast is this good, it's almost unfair to call anyone out. But Brad Armacost as Richard really did some of the most stunning work I've seen on a stage in a long time. He was actually in the production of Seafarer that they did at Steppenwolf with John Mahoney. But highly, highly recommended. This is at the Den Theater, 1333 North Milwaukee in Chicago. And for tickets, you can visit shawnee.org. That's SEANACHAI.org. Or you can call their box office, 866-811-4111, 866-811-4111. And highly recommended. We have our second call coming in, Michael, so why don't we take it, and then we can talk about your theaters at the end of your shows at the end of the
absolutely.
I'm assuming we have a Jordan Miller on the phone right now, do we?
You assume correctly.
We do. Well, let's give him his due.
We're smarter than we look.
Jordan, thank you so much for calling in. We just spoke to your lovely stage mate. Is that a way to put it? Castmate.
Yeah, yes. I know. I'm still kind of blushing from what she said about me. I don't know how to take that kind of compliment.
Well, just take it. I'm sure it's due. I'm sure it's due. Jordan, did you? I don't know if you heard or overheard. Well, you did because you just said you did. Overheard some of our interview with Carly. Was this a show that you were familiar with? Of course, you're familiar with it being a theater person. But was it a show you had a great affection for? Or did you find great affection through this production?
No, I knew this show very well. I first started studying the show and its role actually when I was in college at the North Carolina School of the Arts. And then I performed one of the Liebesliedern and covered the Count in 2009 in San Diego. We performed it at the Lyric Opera San Diego. And we did it completely traditionally. We had a full orchestra, which every piece that Sondheim wrote, we had it, which we were billing as, you know, the Broadway production has like 7 live orchestra. We have 27. And it was done in a light opera house, so it was done mostly with opera singers, so that was all acoustic, no microphones. And it was a very well-received production. It was a very beautiful production, but again, it was also very traditionally done. This is the Little Night Music. And so it's been really interesting to do it here with the ensemble because they did it kind of a, you know, a reimagining of it. And I've had people who saw both performances and they liked them both the same, but they also said that this one was, funnily enough, easier to follow because it really zeroed in on the story and the relationships and the characters, and that they were able to, instead of just having the wash and the grandiose of a Little Night Music, they actually got pulled into the story better. And it's also a smaller theater, which makes it a little more intimate.
You know, it's funny, it's funny, Jordan, that you're saying that because you're right on the heels of an interview that I, not an interview, but a review I just said about comparing two shows, one I saw on Broadway, mm-hmm. same production, same play, one on Broadway and one in a small storefront theater in Chicago. And the intimate theaters, you can right. get an energy and a connection
Always.
To the material that you can't get in a vast barn of a room. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that, but that venue that you're in, I mean, it's hardly a storefront.
It's absolutely gorgeous. I am, when I first got to town, I actually, stopped into the theater to, check it out on the sly. And I walked in and I was you just immediately felt at home. And it's so nice for an actor to walk into a theater because it's basically our home. And it was so lush, and the colors were very warm, and I kind of shouted out to see if anybody was listening to me. I could hear my voice already bounce back, so the acoustics were really good.
Well, it's a 300-seat house, right? 300 seats?
Yeah, it's big enough to where you can do a musical of this size and even do one a little bigger. You just kind of scale it down. But it's definitely small enough to where there is no bad seat in the house. And even if you're in the back of the house, you can still see the tiny details like an eyebrow raise or a cut of the eye or you see somebody sweat. And it's those kind of details that I always thought as an audience member really helped draw you in to where you really felt like you were a part of the production instead of just watching something that was either a big movie screen or you just kind of get lost trying to focus on everything at once. So this is really, I mean, for me personally as an actor, this is my favorite size venue to play
Jordan.
Because you really get to connect with every member of the audience.
Jordan, let me ask you to do something for our audiences sure. since you are so eloquent speaking-wise. If you could just...
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. If you could give the audience, for those who haven't seen A Little Night Music, either the film or the stage play, give us the plot summary of this and your role in it.
The plot summary centers around the two main characters, which are Desiree, played by Stephanie Zimbalist, and by Frederick, played by Patrick Cassidy. They were lovers back in the day, and for reasons unknown to us, they broke up, and then they're reunited. And then over time, Frederick's character has had a son from a previous marriage and has remarried another woman. And Desiree has had a daughter, which you find out later was actually Frederick's. And at the time, Desiree is having an affair with my character, Count Carl Magnus, who is also married. And so there's a constant menage a trois element throughout the entire story, and they all wind up at her mother's house in the country, weekend in the country, where everything comes to a head. All these secrets are revealed, and you find out later that Frederick's son is actually in love with his wife because they're close to age. I find out that my wife was actually hitting on Frederick. So I get enraged and jealous at him. I completely forget about Desiree. And by the end of it, all the couples wind up with the person they're supposed to wind up with, and in a mix that you think is going to be all about, you know, all about affairs and all about sex and all about multiple partners. You really find out, no, we're all meant to be with that one person whom we truly love and cherish. And that's what makes Send in the Clown such a powerful song. But at that moment in the play where Desiree realizes that after all of her glamorous life and after all of her affairs, that really the one person she loved was Frederick, and he actually rejects her at that part in the play.
Wow.
And so that's when she realizes the one person she loves doesn't love her anymore, who, of course, he finds out later he does. And so that heartbreaking moment of a woman just past her prime who realizes she really missed her chance for happiness. And it's at that point, though, there's nothing to do but laugh about it, so Send in the Clown.
I tell you, it's a powerful song out of context.
It really is.
Out of context. I can't imagine how powerful it is.
I have a funny story about that song. I worked for a couple of years with Holland America Cruise Lines, and we had a Broadway review show. And even though I was the singer who, you know, I would sing Phantom of the Opera, I sang This Is the Moment from Jekyll and Hyde, that was one of the songs I had to sing. And in the key that is written for the alto part of Desiree, but I heard Carly mentioning earlier about how, you know, sometimes singers actually ruin that song because they sing it.
Right, right.
Instead of act it. And it was taken completely out of context, but I tried to keep the spirit of it, of the moment where the love of your life tells you they don't love you anymore. And I remember hearing a lot of people, because I didn't sing it, I was trying to speak sing it and act it.
Right.
And the feedback that I kept getting was that after listening to somebody sing Phantom of the Opera, who then just turned on a dime and just very simply performed Send in the Clowns, it was actually more powerful.
Yeah, you and know, I it's think, not, yeah, it's not about the curly cues. It's about connecting with an audience.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
And because that song, I mean, all of us have had our hearts broken by someone that we loved at some point, even if it's not a lover. It could be a child, it could be a parent, it could be a best friend.
Right.
So everybody understands what that unrequited love feeling.
You know, when you were describing the plot, it sounded suddenly like a weekend in Hollywood. I mean, you know, with all of that going on.
Absolutely.
I guess it's a universal theme, right?
And I'm glad that you described it, because if I had to present, someone who's doing the show has to be the one to deliver the synopsis, because if you put it in a press release, it would be a bound leather volume, because it's so intricate.
It's very complicated. I don't think it's particularly hard to follow, but it is very intricate.
True. But you know how it is when you describe something, it always sounds far more intricate than to just see it performed. I mean, the plays are meant to be plays and musicals are meant to be seen, not described. So when you have to describe them, you know, you have to do a lot of the legwork that is just natural when you see the performance. Speaking of performances, let's throw this information out there again. This is A Little Night Music, and it's at Ensemble Theater Company of Santa Barbara at the beautiful new Vic Theater.
Brand spanking new.
33
That's
West
right.
Victoria Street. That's in Santa Barbara. And for tickets, you can call 805-965-5400. And that's 805-965-5400. And the same number for group sales. We got a bunch of people because it is holiday time.
It is holiday
people
time.
Are doing things.
And you know,
groups.
Folks, be spontaneous, because the show has been running from December 5th, and it closes on December 22nd. So for those of you in Santa Barbara, that's an easy thing for you to climb aboard and get involved there. But for those of us coming in from L.A., just be spontaneous and drive your car up there to see this amazing cast of a show that is not very often done, actually. So what could be better than that at this time of year?
Yeah, and also
right? Santa Barbara, beautiful.
And go to this brand new venue before word gets out, and then you can't get a ticket.
Exactly.
You know, it's so new, you know.
Though I understand it's selling very well with, of course, you know, these marquee names that they have in the show.
Sure. Jordan, you got some, you've got some killer castmates you're sharing the boards with up there, huh?
Yes, I do. I was very humbled to come on board here up against such illustrious people, and I've met illustrious people through them, and it's just been very, like I said, very humbling and very rewarding. But it's also been fun just to kind of get to know them on the side, just as your castmates, and let that Hollywood marquee kind of fade away, and then you just hang out with Piper, you just hang out with Stephanie or
well,
Patrick
Stephanie,
or
I think that we had Stephanie on our show.
Stephanie
a little while
has been
ago.
On the show a couple.
She
times,
was doing the Katharine Hepburn piece, wasn't
yes.
she? Yes,
mm-hmm.
and she's a lovely woman. She was a lovely woman.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Love having her
I'm
on
just,
the air.
From the first day of rehearsal, just. Has, and there was never a minute where I didn't feel completely safe with her and accepted, and we were able to play off of each other. And
oh, that's awesome.
You know, because we do have a intimate relationship as characters. You don't really see it that much in the action, but it does have to be there.
Right.
And it was just never even there was never an awkward moment at all.
It was just there.
Just been there, and you know, she calls me all the time and says, "Hey, you want to go grab lunch?" And we do that, and. It's just been really, really a fantastic experience getting to know her and work with her, and I look forward to doing it more in the future.
Jordan, are you a resident of California, or are you from back east?
I am. Okay. I currently reside in San Diego.
My hometown.
My work there, and live there with my wife, and I have a 2-year-old son, and we're very involved in the theater scene there. I'm actually going to be doing a play there again in January,
mm-hmm.
and then after that, I'll be dancing around the nation again. I'll be back in Fort Worth, Texas, where I'm originally from. Not from Fort Worth, from Texas. But we're both working actors, and
That's great.
Just just go where the work takes us, basically.
Jordan, if someone wanted to follow you outside of this show, is there a website you could share with our listeners?
Yes, sir. It is www.jordancmiller.com.
JordanCMiller.com.
Simple enough.
Great.
Easy enough to get to Jordan.
Jordan, a pleasure having you on the air. We're having Michael's got all sorts of things to share, so we're going to wrap it up with you. But we're very, very grateful to for you making the time to tell us about the show. And as I told Carly, we're happy to speak to you, but we're also happy you didn't have to trudge out in this weather, raining like cats and dogs here in L.A. But enjoy the rest of your run and continued success to you.
And Jordan.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you give Stephanie Zimbalist my love. She's a friend of mine, and I wish that Piper Laurie was a friend of mine. So give her my love anyway.
Well, that will not be difficult. I can do that for you.
And, of course, that beautiful Carly Bracco, you just give her a big squeeze for me. I just saw her the other night, but I never see her enough. So
nobody ever does.
Absolutely. Best of luck to you, sir. Have a wonderful holiday season with your wife and your family, and we hope to see you again. You'll come back. You're always welcome on State of the Arts. Just let us know what you're doing, where you're doing it, okay?
Will do, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jordan. Nice meeting you.
We'll
talk to you soon. Bye now. Nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Nice guy. Really enjoyed chatting with him. Enjoyed chatting with both of them. So I left off with the Shawnee Theater Company in Chicago, but you continued to go to theater. What was the next one you
I saw? Did. I went. I had the pleasure, and I emphasize that word big time, because this was a return to the Valley Performing Arts Center, which, as you know, you've been there, of course.
Oh, yeah.
$144 million venue.
Yeah. David Sedaris there recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the campus of Cal State Northridge, and was blessed to see really one of the last great leading men on Broadway do his show. And that is Brian Stokes Mitchell doing a show called Simply Broadway, which he has also made an album of.
Wow.
And talk about good actors, which is what we're doing today, and the people we've been speaking to. This man fits right into that category. Not only is he extraordinarily gifted as a singer, but his acting ability is so unique and so different and so personalized. And what Jordan just said about being able to see people very clearly on the stage and their reactions and eyebrow raising and whatnot. This is what you could see actually in this particular venue, which, you know, is a very large venue.
Yeah.
And however, the way that it was staged, and he did it just with a piano, and he did it with a few different sized boxes that were on the stage, that he utilized as props and so forth, and or got himself up onto
like set pieces,
different dimensions.
And, yeah.
It was very, very understated. And he's very charming, of course. You know, the women were nuts over him anyway. But the first part of his show was based on the roles, not that he has played in his career, but the roles that he wanted always to play and never had a chance to do them. So he did those, and then he went into things that were more familiar to the audiences that you know, had seen him on Broadway or in any other part of the country. But just a total pro, couldn't get enough of this guy. And when this man sings a lyric, he sings it the way that the songwriter intended it to be sung.
It's got
to
be nice for us when a songwriter finds out that Brian Stokes Mitchell is going to sing your song. It's like, okay, it's going to be done well.
Exactly. And, you know, they have such an amazing season out there at the Valley Performing Arts Center, from the Royal Philharmonic in, coming up in January in 2014 to Cheetah Rivera is going to be there.
Really?
Got to see that woman, right? Jody Bonassi, if you know who that is. Diana Krall is coming up.
Married to Elvis Costello.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I love her. That's coming up in April. Lily.
So that would be a passive. I'm not a big Elvis Costello fan.
No, not at all. I just I didn't have any realization of that marriage. Lily Tomlin takes the stage May 9th.
Yeah, I want to make that one.
Always a great evening with Lily. Yeah. So, folks, if you haven't been here in our area, Los Angeles, and elsewhere, if you haven't been to the Valley Performing Arts Center, check them out. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous building with probably one of the most perfect sound.
Oh, yeah.
In all of our theaters.
Yeah, it's like acoustically perfect.
Yeah. I mean, you can actually hear a pin drop there, wouldn't you say?
I would say it's sort of like the Valley's answer to the Disney Performing Arts.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It's just a wooden, it's a, like the, and the interior with all that curved wood is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So,
and you know what, Michael? You had an issue with the distance from the venue that the parking was the first time you went, but now when you go, you can park in those first front two lots, so it's a much shorter walk to the venue than it was way back when, and they also even have little shuttles that take you.
Yes, they did that. And unfortunately, that shuttle was, I was off schedule with it the night I arrived, so I walked, but it was a cold night, but it was okay.
It's not too far.
No, not at all.
Don't really have, before you go, I don't really have a review here because I don't want to give too much out about this, because this was one of those things that you don't want to tell people too much about because you want them to be surprised. And this was Play Dead at the Geffen Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
This is created by magician Todd Robbins and Teller of Penn and Teller fame, written by the two of them and directed by Teller. Very, very interesting production. A gorgeous, one of the most beautiful sets I've ever seen in Los Angeles. Really intricate and macabre. And it's one of these things where I went in with a certain expectation and they changed it on me. And I'm very happy that they did, because I went in sort of expecting a magic show. And a little ways into it, you know, it's sort of like, well, where are the tricks? There's supposed to be more tricks than this. But then once you get into the tone of it and the mood of it and the rhythm of it, you realize it's just a very, very strong play, piece of theater that happens to have magic elements to it. So it once you buy into that and you're taken for the ride, and it is a e-ticket roller coaster ride.
Really?
This is, I mean, you will literally jump out of your seat. All kidding aside, if you have a heart condition, do not go see this show, because you will get frightened and you will get surprised, and very, very unique. So very interesting thing. And they are now extending. I believe they've extended through
the 22nd.
Now the performance schedule is through January 12th, or is it even past that? What I have is the 12th, but it may be even longer than that.
Right.
But easy way to find out, geffenplayhouse.com, or you can call for tickets, 310-208-5454, and this is in the Audrey Skirball Kennis Theater within the Geffen Playhouse. Really enjoyed it. And
nice.
What else you got? You saw yet another?
I saw two more things, and one is at our newest theater here in Los Angeles, the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts. Smack dab in the middle of beautiful Beverly Hills, you know, right there in their gorgeous little civic center where the famous Beverly Hills
library is.
And the post office used to be there. And this is a gorgeous complex and a beautiful state-of-the-art theater, which seats about 700. And it was...
not a massive venue.
A good-sized stage.
Yeah.
And you walk in and you can smell the newness.
Oh, really?
You know, it is so pristine.
It's got that new theater smell.
Oh, yeah. Very, very exciting. And you just mentioned something about a set over there at Play Dead. This set for the first play, it's a comedy in three acts, it has been put on the stage, a comedy called Parfumery by Miklos Laszlo and adapted by E.R. Dowdall. If it at all sounds a little bit familiar, it's because it is what spawned the film Shop Around the Corner and also the musical She Loves Me.
Okay.
So it all takes place in the perfume shop. Which is in a period time. And I'm going to tell you, the set for this thing looked like it had, I think I said this to you on the phone earlier this morning, looked like it was lifted out of time, like at some, an amazing, like Harrods department store in London or something like that.
Just dropped on the stage.
Wow. It was so meticulously put together, so brilliantly constructed. No expense spared on this set.
Wow.
And, I mean, there was just so much to look at. It was a perfect, perfect thing to see it. And it complemented the beauty of the theater. And the play is something that is not done very often. I mean, I can't even think of the last time it was done anywhere, and I had never seen it, so I was kind of looking forward to that. And they have got a wonderful season, a very diverse season that is coming up through the year. And, we always like to support theaters like this, as we said, especially new theaters. And this one has been in the planning stages for years.
Do you have the calendar of the upcoming stuff?
I'm just looking at what might be upcoming here. So if I can find it quickly enough, I will say.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. I was just curious about it myself because, always like to go to the new venues and see.
Absolutely. Well, you can certainly just, Google the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts.
Okay.
And this play, Parfumerie, is on stage through December 22nd. And it's something that you should consider going to see. If for no other reason, see the theater. Learn where this is. And the beauty of Beverly Hills at Christmas ain't bad either.
Right, exactly. Well, I always, and you can always go over to Nate and Al's Deli. I need no excuse to go over to Nate and Al's. Eat there and then see the show afterwards. Of course, then I'm breathing smoked whitefish on whoever's in front of me, so I feel bad for them.
Here is the website, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, and the telephone number.
Good for the Parfumerie, because that way the smoked whitefish smell be offset by the perfume. This is going nowhere.
Yeah,
go ahead, Michael. It's going nowhere.
This is for tickets, special holiday performance tickets on sale now, 310-746-4000. The web address is The Wallace, WALLIS.org. And, check it out.
Okay. We have 3 minutes left in our hour, Michael. Can you talk about your final show?
I will. And proudly so. I know you're a fan of this same organization, and that is the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles.
Yes, they do great work.
And they do a few different concerts during the year. Mm-hmm. This is their annual holiday spectacular, and this one was called Festival of Carols. And it was took place at the Alex Theater, another one of our great theaters, which was originally a movie theater, turned into a legit theater.
Is that the downtown?
Glendale.
Glendale, okay.
Yeah, Glendale Center. Right. Glendale Center, right across from the Glendale Center Theater, actually.
Okay.
But beautiful, beautiful venue. And its artistic director is someone who is new with the organization. This was kind of his debut as well. And he did a phenomenal job with 210 voices.
Holy cow.
On that stage.
Wow.
And
I didn't think there were that many gay men in Los Angeles.
Or at least in Glendale.
In Glendale, yeah, exactly. Well, they must be importing them.
They were in Glendale those 2 days.
Because there are no gay Armenians, are there?
You never know. But this was full of some traditional songs from Christmas and not traditional songs and very contemporary arrangements of everything.
Really?
Which is always what makes their concerts so wonderfully interesting.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's what you have to look for in things like that, because when it's an evening of just song, you want to see them put their own little stamp on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And the artistic director, conductor, who I referenced earlier, his name is Joseph Nado. And he is brilliant. And Christopher Verdugo, who is the executive director of the organization, is a very dynamic individual who really knows how to talk to the people who are the followers of this and also to gain new support from people that have never perhaps been there before. Very dynamic young man who gave a beautiful speech.
Curtain speech.
Well, it wasn't really before the event started, but it was worked into the event, and he did a fantastic job, and they had fantastic raffles and prizes and things that you could win, so it's always a great evening out at a very affordable prices. So check that out, because they have next year at this time, but in the interim, of course, they have all sorts of performances coming up. And that next coming up, March 29th and 30th, is God Save the Queen, with an S in parentheses.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then they have Angels, excuse me, the, let's see, what is it? Angels. I can't read this here, so I'm going to pass on that. But it is an Act 1 is City of Angels and L.A. State of Mind, and Act 2 is a very special I Am Harvey Mills. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Read in the logo. And that's July 19th, 20th, 2014, 35th anniversary concert. And save the date for the third annual Voice Awards, which is the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles holds its annual Voice Awards and gala, and a spectacular evening to raise funds for not only their work, but also to honor those members of our community who have used their voice to affect significant social change.
All right. Yep. Great. Good to hear. Well, all good stuff. All good stuff. And it's nice to be back after our three-week
break.
We
missed you, Paul.
And I missed you as well. And always a pleasure sharing the microphone with you. And
thank
we look
you.
Forward to chatting with all of you next week.
Happy holidays, folks.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley, right here on LA Talk Radio.